Accession number 3652, Mr. Bob Blackwell, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Blackwell?
Woolwich Military Hospital, 9th of December, 1930.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Were your family from Woolwich or?
At that particular time, my father was serving with the Royal Artillery as a regular in the services. And my mother was actually born in Orpington. My father came from Leicestershire. I understand she was working as a waitress in Lewisham when she met my father.
And so do you know much about his service in the Royal Engineers? You know how
Royal Artillery.
Well, sorry, Royal
Artillery. You remember much about it? Not really. The main thing that strikes me was that towards the outbreak of war, he was serving on Salisbury Plain. I remember going there once with my grandfather to visit him. But shortly after then, he was discharged through having stomach ulcers.
So what did he do after that?
After that, he worked for Orpington Council, Orpington Borough Council.
So did you move to Orpington?
We moved to Orpington at that
point. Orpington itself or just outside?
No, Orpington, between Orpington and St Mary Crane. Between the two.
Now, how well off was the family? How comfortable was it?
We're talking of a period just prior to the war, a little reasonably comfort for just a working man. I use as a guideline that I knew a family that where there was no work and they had it difficult, so we were reasonably comfortable. And we were clothed, fed adequately.
What sort of house were you living in at the time, or
we
flat?
We was living in a wooden house at that particular time. What was it? Two bedrooms.
So for the time, reasonable. Now, what about your education? You'd just about started 3 or 4 years in. Which school were you going to?
I went to Wellington Road School, which is, as I say, between Orpington and St Mary Crane.
And how did you find school when you first went to it? I mean, were you all right there?
Yes, no problems at all. Quite adequate, but this was a junior school which I left at the age of about 10, 11. But the war had started then.
Now, tell me about what the old joke. Do you remember the day war broke out? What were you doing?
I
mean, I know you were only 8 or even less.
I do remember the day war broke out. I was on my way up to the recreational ground in Orpington when the sirens started, which let us know that war had actually been declared, which was a Sunday morning.
And how did you feel? Did you know as an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, what was happening, 8-year-old?
Not really. I immediately turned around and ran home because I think as an 8, 9-year-old, you look towards your mother for guidance in all things.
And what did your parents think of the war? Or were you too young to know?
I think I was too young. I think they were concerned because it's not what you know, it's what you imagine is going to happen.
Now, what about, do you remember getting your gas mask?
Let me think. Now, we did get our gas masks. We got them from the council offices in Orpington. Yes, they're called the Priory.
But you don't do you remember what it was like or whether you tried it on and that kind of
thing? Oh, yeah, we tried it on. There was a rubber gas mask and not like different from the Mickey Mouse one. But
that was for babies, was it?
That was the baby one, yeah.
And what was it like to wear?
I didn't find no problem with it. You know, you felt that you were drawing breath in through a mask and you was aware that something was functioning and you thought it was for your benefit, so you put up with it, yeah.
Now, was there any question of you being evacuated when the war broke out?
We were evacuated. My father had relations in Leicestershire. We went there for roughly 2 weeks, but In the beginning, it was a bit of a phony war, and we soon came back again.
Now, do you remember that being sent to Leicestershire?
I mean, I remember being sent there. Yeah.
What happened? I mean, what was it like being sent away from your family for a...
More of an adventure. Yeah, we took it as an adventure. We never really started school or anything like that. There was only my brother and I, so...
It wasn't a formal evacuation, it was in, you know, just to your relatives.
More of kind of thing that I think my parents thought should happen, but as nothing was happening, they fetched us back.
After, and that wasn't, yeah. Now, what about, what effect did the war have on you in the early, well, first year or so, before the bombing started? I mean, did you notice things like rationing, food and clothing rationing?
Not really, no. I mean, they'd never struck. But I didn't have the problems of sorting my own clothing out, so they never know.
Do you notice sweet rationing?
I used to use all my sweet coupons up at the beginning of each month. I had a regular shop to go to, yes.
So what about the Blitz? Well, the bombing. I mean, did you have an air raid shelter?
We had an air raid shelter that my father built.
Now, was it an Anderson or
was it an Anderson shelter?
And can you describe how he put it in, what it was like?
He dug a hole roughly 4 or 5 feet deep with steps going down to it. And it was U-shaped, upside down. Yeah.
And what was it like in there?
And he covered it with a surface of earth roughly about 18 inches thick. What was it like? He put sawdust on the... A coat of paint with sawdust on the sides because he was frightened of condensation, to avoid condensation, and with bunk beds, and he made it, you know, it was as comfortable as possibly could be made at that period.
Now, what about when the bombing started? What do you remember of the German air raids? Because I know you were, you know, you were
bombed. We were bombed in 1941.
Now, what do you remember the first year? What do you remember of the start of the bombing?
It was more curiosity than anything. As if we saw any planes either. Oh, because we lived in Orpington, which was quite close to Biggenall Aerodrome, we were very much involved with the Battle of Britain.
Oh, well, let's do that first. What could you see of the air battles going in?
Quite a lot in the sky. There was quite a lot of the Battle of Britain.
But what can
not
you
of
see?
Aircraft dogfights.
Do you remember anything about it?
Parachutes. We saw parachutes, and we actually saw some chaps get machine gunned on parachutes.
By which side?
But it was Germans machine gunning air chaps. You know, it was as I say, early days of the war. And that's mostly what we remember of it. There was a few bombs fell. The earliest bombing I remember is the bombing of London Docks.
That would be September 1940, I think.
Something like that. Could see the docks from where we live. We could see the flames on the horizon. And of course, the pools of smoke. Yeah, that was... You don't say so much frightening as curiosity installing, I would have thought, yeah.
And when did it get closer to you in Orpington?
Well, being there, most of the German bombers used to cross over Orpington, so we was pretty well in the thick of it right the way through the war. I think as the most vivid memory is when we were actually bombed or buried by.
Now tell me the whole story in as much detail as you can.
So I can remember. We was down the shelter at that particular time, and we heard the whistle of the bomb. We never actually heard it explode. The first thing we knew was that the shelter was full of fumes, and the lights had blown out because we only had paraffin lamps. And the fumes were not clearing because the entrance, which was down a slope, was completely buried on top. And
now what by? You told me on tape. Explain on tape what, because it was next to...
It was buried by railway sleepers, which my father had used for building a house for chickens, which we kept to supplement their rations.
Now, where had the bomb actually dropped?
It actually dropped in the next door garden's air raid shelter.
And were they in it at the time?
No, they were not in it. They went to go in it right after the bomb, but they found that that had disappeared into the roadway in front of both the houses. It had blown completely over the houses.
So there was fumes in your shelter. So what happened next?
Well, as I say, there was fumes in there. Then we obviously couldn't get out. My father was trying to get us out, but he couldn't.
So it's blocked with these sleepers from
from the chicken shed. The sleepers had completely blocked the entrance, and with soil and mud on top of that. And it was the air raid wardens that eventually dug us out.
And what was it
after
like
after about
you?
4 hours?
That's a long time to be trapped. What was it like in there for you?
As boys, we were more filled with curiosity. We wasn't frightened. I cannot say that we knew fear. We did. Yeah, I don't think we were frightened. You could not say frightened.
Could you hear them trying to find you and that kind of thing?
We did. After an hour or so, yeah, digging for us. People knew we were there, and they, I think what they did, they put a pipe through the soil, managed to pass the sleepers, to find out whether there was anybody alive in there. I think if somebody hadn't answered, they wouldn't have bothered so much.
But you answered.
Yeah, that did.
And so you were down there, now this is 1941, was it?
I would say about 41. Yeah.
Anything else from the bombing or the air raids you remember?
I think that contributed to me, my mother having Alzheimer's. I think that actually contributed to that.
To what?
My mother going into Alzheimer's, the shock. Not a lot from the bombing, I don't think.
Well, there wasn't that much bombing on Alpington then.
There was now wait a minute, I can go past the bombing, I'll go on to rockets, because
V1
the last
V2.
Rockets fell on Orpington.
Was this V1 or V2?
V2, the last V2, fired in England, but actually fell in Orpington.
Fired in England, you don't mean that?
Fired at England.
And what happened with it?
It actually exploded in Cork Road. At that time I'd left school, I'd started work, came home in the evening and went and helped the local builder put in tarpaulins on roofs.
How much damage did it cause that?
Caused quite a considerable amount of damage at the bottom end of Cork Road, mostly to the roofs. I think it destroyed two houses. Regarding casualties and that, I couldn't possibly.
Did you have any close escapes other than being trapped that time? That's close enough for anyone, but I mean, any other close escapes yourself?
I don't, but no, not.
Did you used to play on the bomb sites? That's something.
Oh, yes. In actual fact, we celebrated the end of the war on a bomb site.
Hang on, it's a bit different. What would you do on a bomb site before the.
We would be looking for shell splinters, whatever. And there'd be general games, cowboys, whatever.
Yeah. And what about end of the war celebrations? What happened then?
End of the war, we had two lots of celebrations. We had VE Day and then VJ Day. On the bomb, there was a bomb site in Lower Road where I lived. And they built a huge bonfire, and that was fueled by railway sleepers, so they burnt all night. There was homemade fireworks. We all baked potatoes. They were singing and dancing, whatever. Yeah,
And the same on BJ Day.
BJ Day even more so, yeah.
Now, tell me about how you did at school, Ed. So how was your education going? What were you good at and bad at school?
I had a moderate education. I don't think there was any particular subject that I was, except writing. I apparently received commendations for my imagination. I was rather good at writing, yeah.
Any subjects you didn't like or were bad at?
Mathematics, I wasn't too good. No more arithmetic, yes. But when it came down to fractions and more intense mathematics, no.
And what about sport? Were you interested in sport at school?
I played cricket. I did try to play rugby, but one chap went hairing down the field, ran into the goalposts, knocked himself out, and that ended my interest in rugby. But I actually enjoyed the cricket. I'm a cricket fan.
That was your game, was it? Mm-hmm. And were you a member of the Army Cadets or anything like that?
Sea Cadets.
Tell me about your service with the Sea. When did you join them?
I think you couldn't join them before you was 14. About 1943.
Where did they meet?
They met, let me see. Originally met in a scout hut in the St. Mary Cray, yeah.
And what sort of activities did they, what did you do with the Sea Cadets?
Mostly they taught you the basic knots and splices, about sailing. The only one time I went away with them, we went to Dover and went out on a minesweeper into the channel and back again. But,
what do you remember of that?
Not a lot. They fired the gun and it made a lot of noise. And but other than that, not a lot.
Did you have a uniform and everything with the Sea Cadets?
Sorry?
A uniform or anything like that?
Yes, we had a basic seaman's uniform.
And were you in anything else? Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts, anything like that?
Cubs, I think, when I was very small.
But Sea Cadets was your main thing. How long were you in the Sea Cadets for?
About 18 months, 2 years.
So 44, 45, that's
46, all. Yeah. Till I started work. Well, going back to that.
Now, tell me about starting work then. You left school at 14?
Left school at 14. Went into the building trade, first of all.
Now, why did you do that? What was it you that decided, your dad?
No, my dad thought there was more scope in the building trade at that particular time, which there was because of the bombing, etc.
So what were you going in the building?
And he said I would go in as a bricklayer. But I was not too impressed by it.
Why not?
No, I just didn't like it. It wasn't really my thing. I spent a lot of the time repairing bomb damage in those days, damage caused by the V1s and the V2s, particularly in the Bermondsey area.
And were you rebuilding houses from
No, we were doing first aid, like patching up ceilings, repairing roofs, making sure windows were boarded up, etc.
Did you enjoy the work, or...?
It was varied, but the thing that controlled our lives then was the thought of national service.
Now, it's a bit early for that. When you're 44, 45, you're only 14, 15.
Well, no. No, of course, that was the end of the war in those days. But you wasn't looking, you know... wasn't encouraged to look forward.
How long were you doing that for, then, as a bricklayer? 44
about a year, 2 years, 18 months.
So till after the war. And then what did you do then?
I went and worked for Southern Railway those days.
What as?
As a porter.
Now, what did that mean? Because they have porters now, but what did you do as a porter?
As a porter, you done general station cleaning, ensured the trains were in a safe condition when they left the stations, etc. Excuse me.
Did you enjoy the work?
Yes, I did. I did enjoy the work. you met a lot of people. You saw quite a lot. Your life was varied, and you'd learnt a lot.
Better than being a bricklayer.
Certainly better than being a bricklayer.
But the wages is good, though.
I didn't have to live on them. I didn't worry too much about any extras.
Now, you were involved, not involved, but you were there when there was a crash, wasn't it? Tell us about the crash.
I was working on Catford Station at the time when Express from Victoria to Ramsgate left the rails as it met the curve at Catford Dog Greyhound track. And the train went down the embankment, and a rail twisted its way through three of the carriages, taking the head of a chap going to a reunion at Manchester Airport.
Now, what part did you... So you were a porter, what happened?
What happened? The day itself was absolutely pouring with rain. First thing I did was phone the two signal boxes either side of the accident to close the lines off, and then straight out and put fog signals on the line in case any trains got through. You put a series of three fog signals down, which would warn a train to stop immediately. These were containers of explosive, which explode as trains went over them, they exploded. Just to give them a warning.
Anything else you had to do?
As I say, once we'd done that, we closed the station right down and just maintained security.
And when was this? 46, 47?
This would be 47.
Did you actually go to the scene of the crash? Or?
Well, the scene of the crash was pretty close. Yes, I did go up to there.
And what was it like?
Well, we evacuated the people up there. By then, the shock... I don't think people suffered with shock so much because they'd just come through the war. So it was organised chaos, if you know what I...
Were there many injured? I mean, I know this guy was dead,
there was a number who was injured. They were taken to Lewisham Hospital. But what the numbers were, I don't know.
And how long was it before they got the railway running again?
It was running again in 3 days.
Now, anything else before you join up? Any big hobbies or things you did?
No, the main thing that I think occupied my mind prior to joining was the fact of my grandfather's life. He had led such a...
Now, tell me, you've got a picture of him there. Now, he was a big influence on you, so we want you to talk about...
He was a big influence on me.
Why was your grandfather so important? Tell us about him. What was important about him to you, then and now?
He was my mother's father. And, of course, he lived fairly close to us at Epsom, which wasn't too far from Orpington. And I think the thing that impressed you most was the way that he organised his life and things around him. And it was obviously training, military training, that had done that. And I think that impressed me most of all.
Now tell me about
his adventure. His life was one big adventure, basically.
Tell us about it.
My earliest knowledge of him was when he joined the Royal Artillery at the outbreak of the First World War at Woolwich. He joined as a bombardier. He served throughout the war. Whilst in France, he won the Military Cross.
So he got commissioned.
He got his commission as far as high as major, which he had when he at the end of the war. Right. After the war, he went to Africa and was involved with building the railway line through Africa. I don't know the details of that. But he told me he used to have chaps waiting on him, etc. But then at the outbreak of the war, he volunteered for the RAF and was accepted as a squadron leader. He served with the RAF for approximately 18 months, 2 years, when he transferred into the Fleet Air Arm as a lieutenant, and he worked on the scans, which was on aircraft carriers, and gave details of aircraft movements.
So a varied career. And what was he like?
A strict disciplinarian. You'd see that he made sure that my brother and I, as boys, made sure our boots were always clean and in good repair, etc., etc. Ensured that we were always smart.
Now, so what were you going to do? You knew that the call-up was coming. You knew about National Service. So what did you decide to do?
Well, National Service, it seemed to me when National Service was being influenced that most young men of my age, 17, 18, were going into the army, mostly serving in Germany, but a few were serving in Ireland at that time. So I was under the impression there was a lot of the world to see other than that, so I decided to join Her Majesty's Navy.
As a regular?
It was His Majesty's Navy then, as a regular serviceman.
So that you wouldn't be called up and put in the army?
That's correct.
So how did you go about joining?
I went to the employment offices, who sent me to Hither Green, which was the enrolment section for South East London, where I'd done a test.
What kind of test?
A mental test, aptitude test, I would have said. And there also I had a medical.
How strict?
Reasonably strict, certainly. I think that it would not take much to put you off. But it was a pretty strict medical, yes.
Now, so, and you were accepted?
I was accepted.
What did your dad and your grandfather think of that, that you'd gone into the Navy?
They thought it was a good thing to do. Both my father did. I think he thought to myself that it would give me some sort of career for the future. My grandfather was just proud that I did kind of follow his footsteps. He advised me at the time to go in for radar, which was reasonably new in those days, and which I did, obviously went in one ear and out the other. But